Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Joy Powers. While Americans have been going to the polls this spring to start the complicated business of selecting a president, another leadership change is taking place this year. It's the change of power in the leadership role at the United Nations.
That's a transition that will be watched closely by the members of the United Nations Association, a program of the UN Foundation. Chris Whatley is executive director of the U.S. branch of the group, and he was in town to speak with members of the Milwaukee chapter and stopped by to see us recently. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you, Mitch.
What is the relevance of the United Nations to the average person? Why is there a grassroots movement that exists at all as far as this international body goes?
I think it's because the mission and the work of the UN, which addresses everything from peace and security to making it possible for planes to travel across the world to addressing values that are so important to Americans, things like democracy and basic human rights, all of that work, all of those kind of mission elements of the UN are even more important to our lives now in the 21st century than 70 years ago when the UN was founded. Whether it's addressing threats to our security like ISIS and extremism, whether it's dealing with pandemics that threaten us, things like Zika and Ebola, all of these things can't be addressed, can't be managed by ourselves alone. We've got to act with other international actors. We've got to act with a whole global community. And that's what the UN is, a platform for international cooperation to address problems that can't be addressed anywhere else.
Well, that's what the United Nations is for. But the UN, like the U.S. government or any other government out there, is not a volunteer organization. So what role is there for average people to play in supporting this work?
Great question. Fundamentally, the UN isn't a government. It's an association of the world's governments. And the most important member of that organization is the United States. And in our system of government, anything that we invest in terms of our precious tax dollars only gets funded if Americans ask for it, if Americans see something in the work that benefits themselves, that advances their values. So for us as the United Nations Association of the United States, our core mission is to connect Americans, tell them what's going on with the United Nations and how it affects their lives, but also to mobilize them to make the case that the U.S. needs to be a strong leader at the U.N., that we need to play a strong role in U.N. forums. We need to support things like peacekeeping missions, which are in 16 major places around the world that affect our national interests. We need to focus on humanitarian crises that the U.N. addresses. So we are Americans who call for strong U.S. leadership at the U.N.
Well, what is the history of the association?
Our association is older than the U.N. itself. We were founded in 1943, and at that time, the word United Nations wasn't an organization of member nations. It was the name of it was the brand for the alliance that was fighting fascism. It was, in fact, during the invasion of North Africa, Roosevelt started calling the alliance the United Nations Fighting for Freedom. And our organization was founded at about that time by a group of forward-thinking Americans who said that an organization was needed that could win the peace as well as an alliance to fight the war. And we've been around ever since. We've got 150 chapters across the United States, 22,000 members. About 60% of our members are under the age of 25. We're growing on college campuses all over the United States.
Well, and do I gather, is the United Nations Association the organization behind the Model UN program as well?
We're not the only one. Model UN has really been kind of a grassroots effort that has developed over time. Everyone from the YMCA to university groups. But it is a huge part of our activities. We provide more Model UN services than anybody else in the United States.
Well, but talk about the role. I mean, why is this something that's not the Model UN specifically, but the United Nations Association? Why is it catching on college campuses at this point?
I think the generation that's in school today, the millennial generation and the next one coming behind them, see something in international cooperation that is in their own DNA. That they have an affinity for working across boundaries and borders that is perhaps more present in this generation than any other. And as a result, I think they're drawn to causes that advance international cooperation in ways that we haven't seen since perhaps right around the time the UN was founded.
Well, so how does that activity manifest itself, whether it's on a college campus or anywhere else? What is it that the people that are involved in the association do to affect change?
Well, one of the most important things they do is advocate, you know, fundamentally that the UN is dependent on appropriations from all the different nations around the world, but ours are critically important. So they play a key role in advocating for U.S. support for the UN. But they also provide grassroots input into actual policy processes that are going on in the UN, input on what some of the big priorities for development assistance that the UN is engaged in, whether that's the fight against human trafficking, which, you know, that's a fight that happens here in Milwaukee, as well as in Ukraine and in other places around the world. And there are things that they can do locally to assist in those efforts, in focusing on local efforts to combat human trafficking. There's a lot that you can do to be a part of the international cooperation agenda locally, as well as through your national activism.
So, we, you know, regardless of who wins the election in November in the United States, this is, I mean, we're in a time of transition of there's going to be a power transition in this country. Is there also likewise a transition that's happening in the United Nations?
Great point. This is the first time in history that we're going to have the election of a new U.S. president and the election of a new Secretary General happening in the same year. And this one is unique in that the Secretary General is ultimately chosen by the five permanent members of the Security Council. They choose a candidate, and then the General Assembly votes on that one candidate. But it's the most open and transparent system for identifying likely candidates for the next Secretary General that we've ever had before. In fact, there are public hearings happening next week at the UN of the candidates who have identified themselves. So that transition is, I think, critically important for what's going to happen in the next administration. Having a strong relationship between whoever is the incumbent Secretary General and whoever the new U.S. president is going to be key for dealing with things like the global refugee crisis, dealing with the fight against extremism, things that have a definite impact on our national security.
There's quite a bit of uncertainty about who the next leader of this country will be. Does that create a problem in the United Nations as it chooses who its next Secretary General will be?
I think it is an interesting dynamic. But ultimately, since the Secretary General will be chosen by December, it will really be in the hands of the Obama administration and his ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, to state their preference on the candidates that are being considered. So unlike the Supreme Court nomination process where there's all this questions of who the next one's going to be, it's in Obama's court to state their case for who they think the next Secretary General should be. But certainly, it's interesting to think how that next Secretary General might work with any number of the possible options for administrations we might have next year.
And at the same time, as a grassroots advocacy organization, is there a place for the United Nations Association as a grassroots advocacy group to play a role in at least recommending who the U.S. wants in that position?
We can play a role, and one of the things that we have done is for the public hearings next week, a number of our chapters have been submitting questions as part of a global civil society effort to put questions before the candidates for the Secretary General position that are being considered. We at the same time have a strong relationship with this administration and with both sides in Congress, and in talking about some of the key priorities that we think a new Secretary General should pursue, things like advancing the gender rights agenda, which is one of the things that our members are very passionate about, the role that the UN has played in advancing gender rights worldwide. Things like the rule of law agenda and the importance of strengthening the rule of law worldwide. And those are all things that we express to the administration, to Congress, and also to our UN colleagues. But ultimately, we're here to support whichever Secretary General emerges, and to ensure a strong U.S.-UN relationship, whether that administration is a Republican administration or a Democratic administration. We're a nonpartisan organization.
How do you address people or the concerns people have, people who are either skeptical or maybe even suspicious of the role the U.N. plays vis-a-vis the United States and the U.S. government?
Well, I would say, first of all, I think that in American politics, there's always a tension between internationalists and those who would prefer a more isolationist, perhaps, or less engaged posture to our foreign policy. So those tensions manifest themselves in U.S. views towards the U.N. ultimately, 63% of Americans have a positive opinion of the UN. That's our most recent polling. 89% of Americans want us to have a strong, engaged presence at that UN. That means that even those who don't have a positive view at the UN, of the UN, think we need to be closely engaged with the UN. Now, what I think drives some of the misconceptions, there's this sense at times that because the UN is this member state organization and its members are governments, even though it's not a government itself, sometimes it feels like an institutional actor. It has these employees who in some ways are international civil servants. And there is a natural, I think, kind of skepticism towards government and American politics. That's a natural thing that's always been part of our political culture. But sometimes it causes those who are concerned about international cooperation to depict the UN as if it were a government. And nothing could be further from the truth. Quite frankly, every UN member state, every nation in the world, all 193, they show up in New York protecting their sovereignty. They're there to advance their sovereign interests, but also their values of their constituents, the values of the people who come from their country. And for us, I think that the UN is something that advances our sovereign interests. And some of the criticism talk about the UN being, something that has a negative impact on our sovereignty. And nothing could be further from the truth in that we are a nation of confident sovereignty. We are stronger when we work with others to solve problems, to protect our own children from viruses like Zika and Ebola, which you can only protect your children if you work with every nation in the world to address pandemics. We're confident in our sovereignty, and the UN's a place that allows us to advance our sovereign interests.
If there were one question that you would want whoever the Republican and whoever the Democratic candidate are this fall to address as far as the United States and its relationship with the UN, what would that question be?
I would like to see whatever administration comes in, especially in this atmosphere right now, where even in this week, we've talked a lot about burden sharing. We've talked about it on the Democratic side of the House and on the Republican side of the House in the presidential election. I would like an administration who focuses on improving the ability of the UN to deploy peacekeepers around the world. This is one of the best burden-sharing solutions that we have as a nation, is our ability to address security crises like the Al-Qaeda affiliate that took over Mali, and now you have a UN peacekeeping force that has pushed out an Al-Qaeda affiliate, an affiliate that had used Mali as a staging ground to kill Americans. I would like UN peacekeeping to be a key part of the U.S. National security posture, one that allows us to address our own national security interests, the values and interests of the entire global community, but also that helps our bottom line as a nation that has limited resources.
Chris Whatley, many thanks and best of luck in your work.
Thank you.
Chris Whatley is Executive Director of the United Nations Association of the U.S. It's a program of the United Nations Foundation, and you'll find more information about its work from a link at wuwm.com.